Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. There came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which, when all the people saw, they shouted, and they fell on their faces. Chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, that is, his incense pot, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. A couple of years ago, Ministries Magazine ran a series of articles that dealt with burnout in the ministry. I read those articles with a great degree of interest. For you see, in the surveys that Ministry Magazine did, they reported that 80% of those guys that are involved in ministry are either presently experiencing burnout, or in that past year had experienced burnout. They were presently experiencing burnout, or in the past year had experienced burnout. 80% of guys in the ministry were experiencing or had experienced burnout. In fact, the article went on to say that the average pastor in the nation leaves the pulpit, if he has one, leaves the pulpit that he preaches from after 2 years. That is, at the 2-year point, the average pastor in our country will leave the ministry altogether, or he'll change congregations, usually because of this same reason, burnout. Burnout. Now, here are ministers talking about being burnt out, and ministers are supposed to be those who have a certain degree of maturity, who have some stability in the things of the Lord, and they're talking about being burned out. And this is what troubles me. This is what I get confused about. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," Jesus said, "and learn of me, and you shall find rest in your souls." Jesus invited those who were following him to learn of him and experience rest. Not burnout, but rest. So what's the deal with mature Christians, so-called, saying, "Hey, I'm just burned out"? And you see, it's not just professional clergy people, but you, and you, and you, and you, and you too. You're in the ministry just as much as me. We are. How come we don't get a parking space out there? Here's the reality. Jesus said in John 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth much fruit." Folks, you are every bit as much in the ministry as I am, or any so-called professional clergy person. We're all in the ministry. Then, pray tell, what's the deal about this burnout? Jesus said that we would have rest. Why do then men or women get burned out? burned out in serving the Lord, burned out in their walk with the Lord. What's the deal? How could this be? How could we get burned out in the ministry? Well, in our story today, in our text tonight, we see the ultimate illustration of being burned out in the ministry. There are two guys who are sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They are priests, and they are burned out literally. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes them, and they are crispy crittered. They are fried fryers. They're toast. They're totally, completely burned out. And in this story, hey, if you want to know why a person burns out in ministry or burns out in their passion for the Lord, we see the answer, I believe, illustrated in this story. Here's the situation. Chapter 9. The tabernacle that they've been working on, that tent in which they would offer worship to the Lord and meet with the Lord, the tabernacle was completed. The tabernacle was erected. And the altar was in front of the tabernacle. And they laid wood on the altar and they placed a sacrifice on the wood. And the people all gathered around and they were there. And the Lord sent down fire from heaven. And it came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar. And we read here in chapter 9 when this happened. Verse 24, when fire came out from the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering, when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their face in awe. The Lord is here. He's in our midst. Fire has come down. And they shouted. Hey, it was a hallelujah hoedown. It was a Pentecostal praise session. They shouted. It was Pentecostal. Then they went into a holy hush and they just bowed. It was Episcopalian. So it was sort of an ecumenical deal here, you see. Man, the Lord sends fire from heaven, consumes the sacrifice that's on the altar. And they shout, man. And they worship in awe and silence and reverence, you see. What a grand day. Now, this really happened. This isn't just a fable. This really, truly happened. Put yourself in that situation. You're there. The altar is constructed. The sacrifice is laid thereon. Fire comes down. Man, you know that the Lord is in the midst of the congregation. That He is blessing the construction and the erection of the tabernacle. It's exciting. At that time, two young priests, sons of Aaron. Aaron, Moses' brother. Aaron, who was high priest of the nation. Two priests, two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Hey, sons of Aaron, verse 1. They were thrilled. They were excited that day. God is here. The people are shouting and now they're bowing and this is cooking. And they grab their little incense pots. And they grab their little Bic lighters. And they lit the incense there, and they caused the incense to burn, and they were a part of this happening. And then fire came down a second time from heaven and cooked them. Boy, talk about quenching a meeting. Talk about, at one point, the people are shouting and bowing, and now they're, whoa, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's boys, priests. They're in the ministry. Look at them. They're burned out. They're burned out. Something happened. God was displeased with Nadab and Abihu. Essentially, God is looking at them and saying, "You're fired." They were. Literally. They were fired. Literally. Why? Is God being cruel? Listen. Listen carefully. Our God is a God of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. In the Old Testament times, God wanted to reveal to the world how much he cared for them and the way that they ought to walk with him. So he called a nation, a group of people, the people of Israel, the Jews, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he called this nation and he put them in a position of separation that he might bless them, that they would in turn be a witness, an example, a lighthouse for a dark, dying world. God had a plan to use Israel as a lighthouse, as a witness. He raised up a priesthood. Priests that were to give instruction to the people, provide direction for the people, be an example among the people. These priests were to help the people walk in a way that's right in God's sight, that the people might be a witness, an example, a light to the world. So when the priests blow it here, God deals very directly, severely, because he doesn't want the people to continue on or to be contaminated by that error, lest the nation no longer be an example to the world. And so God looks down that day and says, hey, I've got to deal severely with this matter. Now, what's the matter, you say? What did these guys, Nadab and Abihu, do that was so terrible that God would fire them, that they would be fried? Listen, the name Nadab literally means willing one. The name Abihu means father of him. Nadab means willing one. Hey, I'm willing. I'm willing to get involved in service. Abihu, I'm father of him. The implication is Aaron, the big kahuna. Aaron, the high priest, he's my pops. And I'm following in his footsteps, you see. These two young guys, they were there. And they saw the fire come down and consume the sacrifice that was on the altar. And they watched the people shout and they watched the people fall in awe. And they said, hey, this is hot. This is happening. Let's grab our incense pots and let's add to the fragrance. Let's be involved in what's taking place here today. With no doubt, a sparkle in their eye. They thought, hey, let's be a part of this. This is grand. This is great, you see. And then fire came down a second time and cooked them. Because verse 1 tells you and me, the problem was they offered strange fire. Exodus chapter 30, verse 9, warns about this strange fire. And I'll read to you from chapter 16 of Leviticus. Listen. For you note takers, you might want to jot it down. It gives you understanding about what this strange fire is. God declares in Leviticus, 16, verse 12, and he, the priest, shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat, that he die not. The fire to ignite the incense that the priests would use was to be taken off the altar, or else they would die. Strange fire would be fire that was taken from any other source. Listen, stay with me. Strange fire is fire that was taken from any other source other or else they would die. Strange fire would be fire that was taken from any other source. Listen, stay with me. Strange fire is fire that was taken from any other source other than the altar. That altar where God had ignited the original fire that was to burn from that point on, night and day, perpetually. God, from heaven, consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar, and the fire would burn continually, and the priests were to take their fire from off the altar. Any other fire would be considered strange fire. Nadab and Abihu. Mr. Willing and Mr. He's my pops. Hey, they may have had enthusiasm and energy, zeal and vitality, but they ended up burnt out because they lit their own fire. They didn't take it from off the altar. You will burn out. So will I. We will burn out just as surely as Nadab and Abihu did if we are ignited with any other fire than what is from off the altar. What do you mean, Pastor John? There are people that say, hey, I'm willing, just like Nadab. I'm willing. I want to get involved. I look around here on Sunday mornings, and I see the place packed out. And today we saw 80, 100 people baptized, whatever it was. And people say, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to serve there. And they get all fired up, and they're all enthusiastic. And they want to serve, because they want to be a part of a happening. They want to be a part of a movement. They want to be a part of something that is exciting. But listen, that was the error of Nadab and Abihu. It burned them out, and it'll burn you out too. Why? Because what happens when it's not as exciting? When it's no longer, quote, happening? When it's not the hot place to be, people will say, well, I'm just kind of burned out with that church or those guys or this ministry. It's no longer the place to be. I think of what took place last week in Texas at Fort Worth. Last Wednesday after study, I went home. I heard it on the news and went home and watched CNN until 2 o'clock in the morning. I really wanted to find out about this Texas tragedy where this gunman walks into the Baptist church there and starts cursing Christians and cursing God and cursing churches and sprays his bullets. And you know, it was very intriguing because I watched for hours CNN. Trying to get the story. They had little snippets on. The entire night was devoted to Hurricane Floyd that never hit. And these reporters would stand out there trying to look wet, you know. Jeff Flock and the boys. Well, it should hit any time. Well, and it was, you know, drizzling and what have you. And they went hour after hour on a storm that didn't really hit, saying, well, it's just not happening and it's just not hitting like we anticipated. It's a tropical storm. And then they would cut away and do a 5-second or 10-second blurb on something that did hit. And I thought, this is so strange. Why isn't this getting the coverage that a hurricane that didn't exist, so to speak, was getting? And I wondered about that. And then I listened carefully over the next few days, even to this week. And the reports have been so fascinating to me because people have said, we're still trying to discover the motive. We don't know what the motive was. There's no known motive. And over that's been discussed and written about and commented. No known motive. Let me tell you something. If that same guy with that gun had walked into an abortion clinic and fired away, or if that same guy with that same gun went into a gay lesbian center and fired away, or if that same guy with that same gun went into a minority center and fired away, there would be no question about motives. It would be a hate crime. It would be bigotry. hate crime. There would never be a discussion about motive. But because that guy went in, cursed churches and cursed Christians and gunned down believers, people say, well, we just don't have a motive here. And I think, how can this be? What do you mean, what's the motive? The guy hates Christians. He hates believers. He hates church. It's called persecution. It's called hate crime. It's called bigotry. But that's never uttered by any of the talking heads or commentators or news anchors. We still don't have a reason. We're trying to find out what motivated this man. You put the same guy in a gay lesbian situation, let me tell you, the motive would have been trumpeted across the land immediately. Bigotry, polluted by fundamental Christians, narrow-minded Bible thumpers, hate crimes, and all the rest. Why am I bringing this up? Simply to say this. Listen, even as Terry's word was to us before, it's true. What's happening as we see Christians being put down, Christians being persecuted? Did you know from the year 1900 to 1999, on the average, 100,000 born-again Christians were martyred per year. 100,000 born-again Christians were killed for their faith per year. And it's going to get heavier. What's going to happen then if you're saying, man, I just want to be part of a happening deal? What's going to happen then when it's persecution time, or when it's not the hot place to be, or when it's not the happening spot? You will, I will, we will burn out. If what's motivating you is to be a part of a deal, wow, Nadab and Abihu said, this is the place to be. Well, they burned out, and so will you. Others would say, no, it's not so much that I want to be a part of a movement or a part of a deal or a happening. I just have this need in my heart to be used. I just have this desire within me that my life might be used, you see. I have this need. So I'm going to serve the Lord because of that need in my heart. Careful. It's strange fire. Because what will happen is you'll do that to fulfill that need for a year or four or maybe 10 or 20. But then suddenly you'll find yourself intrigued by something else to fill your heart. Like hang gliding or antiquing or whatever it might be. You'll suddenly say, hey, this really kind of fulfills a need in me to go antiquing. So I really can't be a part of the church anymore or involved in those activities or committed to those studies. I got to go antiquing. It's Sunday, big garage sale day in Jacksonville. Got to go. See, strange fire. Even though you may say, I just want to be used. If that's what motivates you, you're going, I'm going, we're going to burn out. I guarantee. If you want to be a part of a happening, strange fire. You'll burn out like Nadab and Abihu. If you want to be used and feel like that there's just this thing in you, a need to be used to fulfill a need, a hole in your soul, hey, you'll flirt with this and you'll go over there and you'll get involved in the other. You'll be wandering and floundering about from thing to thing. You'll burn out in ministry, guarantee. No, John, it's not that. You say, it's not being a part of a happening and it's not trying to fulfill a need within me. I really care about people that are lost. And I want people that are lost to know the Lord and to be saved. That's terrific. But if that's what motivates you, that's going to burn you out ultimately too. It's strange fire. What do you mean? What happens if, like Jeremiah, who preached for 40 years in Jerusalem, he poured out his heart, he wept over the city, he preached faithfully, and after 40 years, not one person responded. If you're doing it to see souls saved, if that's your motive, you're going to burn out. Because people aren't going to respond the way that you thought they would, the way that you hoped they would. And eventually you'll say, I'm just not into this street witnessing anymore, this passing out tracts, this inviting folks to church. I'm just burned out on that stuff. You'll be burned out. Others say, well, I just want to help out Christians. It's not to be a part of a happening. It's not to fulfill a need in me. It's not even to evangelize. It's just to help out my brothers and sisters. People need help, and I want to help them out. Watch out. You'll burn out. Why? Because we people, all of us, you, me, all of us, we're a bunch of jerks. And man, you'll pour your heart out for somebody, you'll give your all to somebody, and you know, because of the nature of you and me, because we're fallen, we're depraved, we're sinful, you're not going to get the appreciation, the applause, the thanks that you thought that you would, that you think that you should. In fact, because of the way I am and you are, you just might get a knife in your back. I'm burned out! I was helping those guys and I was doing that and nobody said thanks and no one gives a rip. In fact, all I get is a knife in my back. I'm burned out on this ministry stuff. Helping out people. I was amazed at a story that came out 2 weeks ago. There was a group of citizens that raised a huge amount of money, many, many millions of dollars, to build a hospital in Ontario, California, San Bernardino County, Ontario, California. Purchased the property. Construction was underway. They were putting up the walls. The foundation was already in place when suddenly, construction came to a halt because someone spotted a Delhi, D-E-L-I, a Delhi sand fly. The Delhi sandfly is the only fly on the endangered species list. And the Delhi sandfly only lives in the San Bernardino County area, in the sand dunes of San Berdu. And these flies are on the endangered species. They're just flies. But because there's not many Delhi sandflies that live in the sand dunes of San Bernardino, they halted construction permanently. They cannot put up the rest of the hospital that would save lives to help out people because a Delhi sandfly was spotted. Well, they claim they found 8 Delhi sandflies. Man, if I saw a Delhi sandfly, it would be a Delhi sandwich. I mean, if I saw one, I'll tell... I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a fly, folks. It's a fly. It's a fly. It lands on garbage. It buzzes around. It lays eggs. It's a fly. And they stop a hospital to save a fly. I'm amazed. Did you hear down in Eureka, California, in a large Kmart built, true story, a large Kmart building, in the great big red K, you know, that they now have on the Kmart buildings, in the K is a nest. The nest is of a spotted owl. A spotted owl has built a nest in the neon K and laid eggs. In the neon K of a Kmart sign. We must have old growth, you see. Kmart is your savings place. And you see, this is the thing. You say, well, I'm just going to help. I'm going to build a hospital, or I'm going to do this, or whatever it might. I'm going to help out people. Well, what happens when it doesn't work out, and it won't work out? You'll say, I'm burned out. I've had it. I was trying to help the fellowship. I was trying to reach out to those lost people. I was trying to get involved in this movement. I was trying to fulfill a need within me. And I'm just burned out. Boom. Like Nadab and Abihu, you're down for the count. You're through. I'm through. We're through. It's strange fire. No matter how sincere it might seem, well, I just want to help people. I just want to be part of the group. I want to be part of the ministry team. I want to do any of those motives will burn you out sooner or later. And here's what will happen. See, I've been ministering here now for 22 years. And I can tell you what takes place in my own heart and what I've seen with my own eyes. As the years go by, sometimes you say, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? They were once grabbing their incense pot. They were once really into it. But now, where did they go? What happened? And you hear about them, or you see them someplace and you talk to them and you realize Nadab and Abihu burnt out. Because somebody hurt their feelings, or somebody didn't respond, or something didn't work out, or something wasn't met within their heart, and they just say, I've had it. And you see people as the years go by that were once on fire, now burnt out. It's because, listen to me, it's because it was strange fire from the very get-go. Well, what's the fire to be? I'm almost done. Don't miss this. God declares the fire that is to light the incense that will give you the fragrance that's beautiful and pleasing to me is to come from one place and one place only, from the altar. There's no alternative. There's no alternative. The altar? What altar? The burnt altar, where the sacrifice was consumed by fire from heaven. The burnt altar speaks of one thing. Where Jesus Christ went to the cross and absorbed the fire of God's wrath that should have been poured out on you and poured out on me. Jesus, the Lamb of God that we sang about previously, Jesus was crucified on that wood, just like that sacrifice was laid on the wood of the altar. And He absorbed the fire and He paid the price for your sin and for my sin and for our sin. The altar speaks of Calvary. The altar speaks of the cross. So Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul the Apostle said, it's the love of Christ that constrains me, motivates me, pushes me. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about how he was beaten up and cast off and placed in prison. Things were tough and brutal, people turning their backs on him. But Paul said, none of that matters because it's not about ministry or people or even evangelism. It's about what Christ has done for me. He has done so much for me. He was consumed upon the altar of Calvary. He paid the price. My sin is forgiven. I can't help but serve Him. Listen, that is the fire that will never burn you out. 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you'll still be walking with the Lord, serving Him with passion and impact and effectiveness. You're not going to be in the category of whatever happened to, but rather you're going to be, look at that guy. He just keeps going and going and going like the ever-ready bunny. What's the deal? It's because the motivation is not to help people or be a part of a church thing or have a need met in your own heart or whatever. The motivation is Christ Jesus has done so much for me. I will serve Him till I take in my last breath on earth. And then I'll serve Him in heaven eternally. It's the love of Christ. Christ's love for me that constrains me. Any other fire, folks, is strange fire. You'll burn out. But the fire from off the altar will cause you to burn bright. Day after day, night after night, year after year. Paul said it's the love of Christ that constrains me. Well, John, how do I get a handle on that? Here's how. How do I keep that in focus? How can I keep from getting sucked into the Nadab and Abihu deal? Here's how. The simplest, most practical thing that I can tell you is to go to the altar over and over and over again and remember what Christ Jesus has done for you. What altar? The Eucharist. The Lord's table. The believer's supper. When you go and have communion and you bow your knee and you really commune with the Lord and you handle the broken body and you take in the shed blood, once again, you understand Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Once again, all the dials are set back to zero and I go, of course, Lord. Man, you've done so much for me. But if I don't handle his body, if I don't take in of his blood, I can get real fuzzy. I can get real forgetful. And my motives become something other than the love of Christ constraining me. It becomes wanting to please people or wanting to be part of something or wanting to have a need met in my own soul. And those things will burn you out, I guarantee. But when you go to the Lord's table, say, Lord, I'm considering once more, I'm remembering again how much you love me, what you did for me. Your heart is ignited. Your life is altered with the true fire. And that's the key. Tonight, if you're here and you've been wanting to be a part of the ministry or be recognized or be used or be whatever, hear the word of the Lord. Danger, danger, danger. On the other hand, if what you're doing is because you're just blown away by what Jesus Christ has done for you, it won't matter whether you're part of a happening or whether people respond or whether they stab you in the back or applaud you with a standing O. It's irrelevant, because what you're doing is because of Christ's love for you and you're just responding to him. That's the key. Any other fire will burn you out. My prayer as a pastor is, Lord, keep these precious people from being on that list of whatever happened to fill in the blank. Where did they go? Once they were so on fire, but now they're just a shell of what they used to be. Burned out. Strange fire. What a tragedy. Go to the table of the Lord.
Well, when?
Any morning, every morning, here in the sanctuary, tomorrow night, at the praise session, Friday night, Saturday night. Hey, Koinonia groups, we have communion around here every day at some time or another. You never have to say, well, I just can't go to the altar. Don't have the opportunity. Sure you do. Take advantage. Go back continually. It's the key. Father, I pray that you would cause us to learn the lessons that you have recorded in your word that took place back then, where Nadab and Abihu burned out because of a strange fire that they were offering. Please, Lord, help me to remember. Help us to remember that nothing else can really ignite our souls long term except the altar. What you've done for us, oh Lord. I pray that what we do as individuals and as a church corporately would be done in response to your love that you've poured out on us, the heat that you took for us. Jesus, may it be that love that motivates us continually. Please correct us, adjust us, change us, and direct us. Help me, help us, Lord, to not be Nadabs nor Abihus. But do what you did in Paul the Apostle. Do it in our lives too, where it's the love of Christ that constrains us. That's what we desire for you to do, Lord. In Jesus' name.